Right, Cathy Morton, you may have heard her before, but I haven't. I've been in touch with her for the last 2 or 3 years, trying to organise an opportunity either for her to speak to us or to actually visit the temple. Due to COVID, that hasn't happened, but she's here today. Cathy Morton was raised on a farm. She went to Lindsay Collegiate, then Peterborough Teachers College. She taught for 32 years and was a founding member of Manvers Township Historical Society and has worked on and catalogued many significant buildings in Manvers. She has worked with the Chan Shan Temple in Toronto for 17 years as a local ambassador for the Wutai Buddhist Garden site on Ski Hill Road, including organising conducted tours of the site. This is an amazing project on our doorsteps, which I have personally visited 3 times over the last 5 years. So, over to you, Cathy, to tell us more.
Thank you, John. I like these remote mics that can walk around. Those of us that taught school like to walk around. I own some 400 acres in Bethany and believe that the same philosophy as the Buddhists are for respecting nature and our environment. But I am not Buddhist. Several years ago, the Canadian Buddhist Organization approached me to become the liaison between the community and the Buddhist organization. Consequently, Andy Hardula, myself, and the Manvers Historical Society became actively involved by organizing a traditional Chinese dinner at the ranch resort as a way to welcome our new neighbors. This became the icebreaker of the acceptance in our community. Each year since, the Historical Society, through me, has organized conducted bus tours of the site with tourists attending from all over the world. The site is still a construction site and is only open on certain days to the general public, and hopefully by next spring that will change. We do conducted tours because unless you are a Buddhist, your understanding of the statues, etc., will be very limited. Even I, who have been working with the Buddhist organization for 17 years, still has little understanding of some traditions or statues. And most of the guides on site do not speak English. Bill, do you want next? The topics of our presentation are going to be the brief history of the Chan Shan Temple, the vision they have for the area, the construction process, community integration, and the question and answer session. Bill? The basic philosophies, I'm getting a glare here, of the Buddhist teachings. They believe in the cause and effect cycle. You reap what you sow, and the concept aligns with pay forward. Cultivation of compassion and tolerance is important. Practice meditation to achieve inner peace and purification of the mind, attaining spiritual enlightenment. Promote harmony with the society that we live in so that the world peace can be achieved. The brief history of the Chan Shan Temple, and I've only had this presentation for less than 24 hours, so I'm going to add my own 10 cents worth to this. The three names that you see for the original founders, the first one, he is almost 100. And he received the recipient, his recipient of the 2013 Queen's Diamond Jubilee Award. And in the rest of my presentation, you'll see why he received that. When the Chan Shan Temple was actually opened 4 years ago, this gentleman, being very frail, was not able to climb the 87 steps to the temple. And in step lock, some of the monks actually lifted him up and carried him as a relay up 20 steps, changed the person who carried him, and they went up 20 more until they got to the top of the temple. It was moving to see him actually be able to be carried up those steep steps. And when he got to the top, he was actually able to stand, and he stood there quietly for 2.5 hours while the presentation went on. But when he came back down, he was seeing himself looking pretty frail. The fellow that I'm actually dealing with, the abbot of the Cham Cham Temple and president of the Buddhist Association of Canada, is Venerable Dai Shi, and he speaks 15 languages. And as I said to Bill, he talks to me first, he speaks in Mandarin. I don't speak Mandarin. Bill? The brief history of the Cham Cham Temple was started in 1967, and that was the starting of the Buddhist Organization of Canada. And the South Hill Temple you'll see in the pictures was the first one. The next one established was in 1973, and that's the one on Bayview Avenue. That right now is the headquarters of the Buddhist Organization for Canada, and eventually the Cham Cham Temple in Bethany will become the headquarters. They have other ones in 1985 on Bloor Street, 1990 in Whitby, 1993 in Niagara Falls, and 2008 there was one in Markham. This is a picture of all of the temples that they actually have in the GTA. Most Buddhist people do come from the GTA or from Montreal. Notice the Cham Cham Temple is not included in that one. This is the vision that they have, is to bring the four great Buddhist mountains in China to Canada. And when you hear the rest of my presentation, you'll actually understand what this is all about. These four sites are part of the pilgrimage that they have to do to become a full monk. It takes 2 years in order to do it because of the elevation. You have to be very physically fit. What they're trying to replicate in North America is actually to be able to bring all of those who want to be Buddhists worldwide as Buddhist monks to this site, and they'll do what's called postulation, and I'll explain that later on for you. And they can do it, it's 50 miles, but they can do it within less than a week. The Wadi Shen Buddhist Garden in Canada totals 530 acres of land. That is just the main site. They do own 2,700 acres in Mandarin alone. Of that, I will also talk to you about other sites in the Mandarin site that they're using for smaller organizations, but also for their postulation. The first project was to build the Buddha Temple, the Dharma Temple Hall, and it will be completely completed in 2023. The reality of that is the temple part on the top has been completed, and the next two levels that I will also talk about that will be used for a restaurant, a tourist installation center, the mechanical center, and other uses such as yoga, tea ceremony and whatnot will be on the second floor. The second project is to build two more Dharma halls to be completed in November 2024. Sadly enough, we lost one of those 4 months ago. Don't really know what happened, still under investigation. And thank goodness the wind was in the right direction, it was blowing it east, or we would have lost all of it. The damage is $10 million. The main supporting infrastructure, such as the information center, will be completed in 2023. Problem is, we have to do a lot of translating because so much of the information is actually in Mandarin and it has to be translated, something there's very few people willing to do because it gets lost in the translation. And I can tell you when I've been dealing with the aftermath of the Buddhist temple that burned, all of the government officials, the firefighting, all those sorts of people, they thought they were going to be able to deal directly with the one on Bayview Avenue. No one at Bayview Avenue speaks English. So I have ended up being the translator. They tell me I talked to the project manager, who's Diane Chen, and it gets translated again. You know what happens to information after 3 trips? So it's been a royal nightmare to try and get things all to organize. I can tell you that the Buddhist temple, the one that burnt, is now completely torn down. It was made out of rosewood, as are all the rest of them. And the fire was so intense because rosewood is such a dense wood, and also they had put a lacquer on the outside to prevent it from Canadian insects eating it, as well as our climate change. The fire burnt so hot that they had to bring in the aerial truck from Lindsay after 9 hours and get on the inside to actually put it out. The fire also was so intense that it actually cracked the cement, and there was 20 feet high of cement all the way around this 8,000 square feet building. So every inch of that building has now been removed. And sadly enough, because it is rosewood, built in China, taken apart and shipped to Canada, with the Chinese embargo, the chance of that happening in the next near future is almost impossible. The other part of the sad story is that rosewood is an endangered species, and so whether we'll ever be able to get the rosewood again to rebuild that building identical as what was lost, we have no idea. But it has been taken down, and we're hoping that the site will be cleaned up so that we can do tours again next spring. This is the main temple floor. The ground floor is 35,000 square feet, and as I told you, all of those things that are during the reception, gift shop, tea shop, restaurant, exhibition area, administration offices is on the main floor. The mezzanine is the changing rooms, the washrooms, the mechanical areas, and the second floor is the one with the temple and the walkout to the terraces. Buddhism is not a religion, but is a way of life that teaches each individual to understand themselves, as well as to learn to be at peace within themselves and to de-stress through meditation. Buddhists respect all nationalities and religions by promoting peace and happiness within oneself and the world, as you saw in the beginning there. Buddha was not a god, but is a reminder to the world that wealth or politics does not make someone entitled to special treatment as a human being. Buddha himself was born to a wealthy family, but he left it behind to become a philosopher, attempting to bring what was freedom from physical obstructions such as peace and respect for all nations. More and more people are placing Buddha statues in their homes and gardens as a reminder of the constant search in one's life for peace and tranquility. Peace and tranquility was exactly what this world organization sought when searching the world for this new pilgrimage site. This 30-year search ended with the purchase of the property off Ski Hill Road, north of Bethany. This 530 acres was purchased because the surrounding area was free of physical obstructions such as large buildings and constant noise. The high altitude reminded them of the famous Wati Mountains that I showed you the pictures of in China, which also houses the Wati Temple. Because Buddhism is not a religion, this site does pay taxes. With millions of dollars in statues, buildings, and icons, I'd hate to put an appraisal value on this site. And I can tell you when the one that was destroyed, they will only be receiving a percentage of what the cost of the building to have it built was. Because this is the first in the world, these sites cannot be fully appraised. There are three other sites within several miles of this main site, which are satellite sites and used for part of the pilgrimage route of 50 miles in what is known as postulation. This route must be done to qualify to become a monk. It takes 2 to 3 years to complete this pilgrimage in China, which follows winding trails through the mountains. Elevation, narrow trails, and thinning air makes this trek accessible only to the very fittest people. And I'll show you near the end of my slide presentation what a postulation actually looks like. These three sites represent the mountains in China, and all three off-sites have solitude, higher elevation, and each has a cemented area around a Buddha statue. These are created as meditation sites. Eventually, a small temple on each of those three sites will be built. A prospective monk follows a set route to each of the off-sites by lying down, bringing the feet up to touch the hands, stand, say a prayer, and repeat this for 50 miles. This process is known as postulation and is witnessed by passersby on the sides of the roadways along the route. In the route that we've actually been taking, and we start in Simcoe Street in Port Perry, come along 7 to 7A to each of these three sites. Now, we have had problems. People try to run them over. When they're lying on the road, they think either they're dead, they're sick, or what are they doing here? And so when they do these postulations, they do let me know, and I have them at the OPP actually follow them. It's sad, but that's today's reality. Bill Scott is on the site, and this is actually what the buildings will really eventually look like. This is the largest Buddhist statue in the world. This statue is on the course for the planes coming into Peterborough Airport. So we've been working very closely with the Minister of Transportation, and I think we're eventually going to end up with a beacon on this poor boy's head, because in case I'm low level because of fog or whatever, because the elevation is so steep, that the reality is that this thing could be hit and people could be killed. The temple itself is on the highest hill on the piece of property, and they have raised the temple site 40 feet. This is the main temple, and you'll see it up close. Here are the two temples. This one is the one. Here's the temple up close, and I'll talk to you about that. This is all rosewood. The largest Buddhist statue that I just showed you is visible in 20 miles in all directions, and will be used as an inspiration for each of the three sites to kick in the pilgrimage to the Tam Tam Temple. Bill, if you want to back up one where the temple actually is. Doesn't really matter. But if you stood on the top steps and looked out, you can see 20 miles in all directions. And we can see part of Lindsay, which is kind of neat. That Buddhist thing is on the far side of the temple. And the reality is all of these constellation sites, they can actually see the Buddha temple. So it's the reality that this is their goal, is to reach this temple. As I mentioned to you, the Buddhist temple is actually a solid rosewood yew. And it does not, there's a major cement all the way around it. Bill, there you go. These little guys in here are actually jade Buddhas in many shapes. And they are so heavy that they were actually put in place and the temple was built around them. Inside this temple, and these doors are actually weighing 3 tons each and are moved open hydraulically, and they're all actually rosewood with bronze door handles and embellishments on them. These shingles, and you'll see later on, these shingles are actually bronze shingles as well, and they weigh 55 pounds each. I'll show you a picture of me, of the one that I signed. You can sign and pay for $100 and have the single person who put on in this building. They turn your signature, of course, inside out, so it'll be there kept in perpetuity. And then they put gold gilding on the outside. The actual gargoyles and whatnot on this whole building is all Dudong construction. And Dudong construction is, it goes together like a Lego block, has no glue or screws or nails. It is strong enough to handle a 200-kilometer wind, and on Nature's Fair weekend, it's at its best. This is actually the 87 steps. There's 20 steps up with a landing to hold 20 people. So that, actually, there's 200, you can hold 200 people here. But the reality is that if they're doing part of their postulation in groups, which they would probably be doing, that they would go to the first level, do the prayers, the meditation, and then move on the way up. This, of course, is the concept drawing, and in reality, all of this is actually hand-carved marble with lotus flowers being put right into the stuff. It is absolutely spectacular to see. We had difficulties just before the opening because we didn't have all of the people in place to get the railings installed. It's quite a feat to put that length of marble, and naturally they're 20 feet long, and to have them all put in there, and of course to have the cream that high. Inside this bottom piece is another feat that we did, and this is the one that the first member actually got the Queen's Jubilee Award for, was because the span inside on the main floor, this is all cement in here, of course, but the span above was actually 80 feet. And if any of you know anything about the building code, the maximum span is 40 feet. So we had to rewrite some of the building codes for Canada to do an awful lot of these things. And they sat in my tea room and we discussed this. So this is a feat that has never been done anywhere in the world. We had to have it supported by cement buttresses. What does a monk look like, you ask? Few Buddhists are monks. And yes, women can be Buddhist monks. Most Buddhists follow the world like look like you or I, but follow the Buddhist philosophy. Monks are men and women who choose to study the philosophy and depth in a monastery, and there are two monasteries in the province of Ontario. Each prospective monk has a shaved head and wears a robe. And I've asked why they shave their head. That's because they've got more important things to do than worry about what they look like. The color of the robe indicates the level toward becoming a full monk, brown being the lowest and gold and red being a fully ordained monk. There are 10 monastery sites in Ontario, with only two being a teaching site. There are several variations of the Buddhist organization worldwide: China, Tibet, India, Pakistan, Vietnam, and Indonesia. Each of their own have their own traditions, usually politically motivated. And every one of the ones I've mentioned have donated statues, gargoyles, all kinds of unique things to have put into this temple, which will be the world's largest. Most of the funding for this temple has come from China as well from Canada. This is viewed as a major tourist site, but also to promote trade relations between Canada and China. The Canadian Chinese Buddhists do not take their freedom for granted, and at many organizations, O Canada is sung in English. The Buddhist organization is supported and commended by the former Prime Minister, Stephen Harper, and Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. In 2013, the Tam Tsuen Temple received the Queen Elizabeth II Diamond Jubilee Medal. The award was presented in recognition for the outstanding contribution to the Buddhist Association of Canada and serving the communities in education and charity, as well as promoting multiculturalism and cultural exchange between Canada and China. As one enters the main gate, Bill? Yes. Sure. Yes. One with the waters. Well, we'll talk about that eventually. You want to come look at this one that exists now. That exists now. The Buddha is there. The main temple is there. One of the two temples is still remaining. The elders' temple here is still remaining. And the fertility temple is the one that was destroyed. This area is to be developed. This area is going to be meditation areas and a 100-acre vegetarian garden because they are vegetarians. And this over here is what's called Wisdom Pond. And this is a 14-acre pond that has been dug with many, many springs inside. And if you were to go to the site now, you're going to see all kinds of statues all the way around that. And I'll talk to you about what that is all meaning and where the other statues actually are. This is a sketch. This is the conceptual drawing, which size has changed a lot since that one was put in place. This Buddhist statue is, it's the largest statue in the world. If you look in the right spot, yes, you can. No, we'll talk to you about that one in a minute. Bill? Why don't you come down to what is... Yeah. This is the Dodong bracket that the temple is actually constructed looking like on the inside. These are all pieces of rosewood or yew. And notice how they're all layered, and they're built in such a way that they lock. And when they build all of their statues, the same type of structure is actually holding many of these statues together. And those of you who've been on a tour know that there was a couple of barns that was actually full of all of these pieces inside, and every one of them has a number. So when the builders come to put them together, they put number one to number two, number three to number four. The building people, because there's no one in North America, and we had to prove to the Canadian government that there was no one qualified to build this temple. So when we did that, we actually applied to the Chinese government, and they and the Canadian government had to make recommendations to have these specific builders come to Canada on a work visa. And that takes about 3 years for that to happen. That was one of the concerns that when this temple actually, the one that burnt, because we had eight people here putting those together, and now there's nothing for them to do, so they had to go home early. This is what happens when they're colored and painted. Bill? These, again, are known as stupas. And if you walk around those things, right in the cement are actually some of the Buddhist sayings. This is Wisdom Pond from both directions. This is an aerial view, of course, and you can see the temple up above it. It's a long high cock, and just talk to any firefighter who had to drag the hose all the way up there. Many of them had some major problems because it was too steep a hill for them to get the fire trucks up, so you know how high you actually are. Bill? Here's your construction conceptual drawing. Conceptual now has turned into this. Here's your many steps up. This is all marble. Each one of those sections is fantastic carbon work, and all along the sides. And then we come up to what's called the terrace level. Here are the main doors that I told you that have to be opened hydraulically because of the weight of them. And this is some more of the gargoyle construction that's outside the building that we would call under the eaves. Here are your actual shingles, each one of those weighing 55 pounds. And when they are put in place, then they're eventually painted gold because that means happiness. Here is a section of the roof that you probably, it is up here on the top. And this is also bronze and done with the shingles. This is what the temple looks like at night, and yes, they do have it lit for security reasons. They've had some major issues with some children. Next. This is what the building looked like when it was being put together. It was a major, major feat because, this is our scene, by the way, all of these statues that were put inside, each of them weighs 100 tons. So the base of those statues actually goes right to the base of the foundation. So they had to have major cranes to put these things inside the structure. You'll notice that the structure has metal all the way around it, and then all of the wood is put on the outside. It has to be for the weight. People said why it took so long to build the temple. The problem was when you raise this property 40 feet and you put this weight on top of it, what happens to the fresh fill? It's going to slide back down. So they had to wait until that soil actually settled to start putting this weight in. You now see that the inside, all of the construction inside here, now this is actually cement that has been painted brown. This is actually taken from up above, and here are your gargoyles all put in place. Each one of those gargoyles, the price is $7 million, by the way. Money seems to be no object for this project. Thanks to our tax dollars and the Chinese, and as I said to Bill, a lot of the big investors are getting money out of Hong Kong and whatnot and bringing it to Canada, and some of it is being put here. This is my tile, and this was donated on behalf of myself and the Manvers Historical Society, and that's on the roof. When they finally unveiled these things, because you see that they're all tied up, these things came by ship to Vancouver and by rail to Toronto and then by truck all the way to Ski Hill Road. They had to bring them at night because of the amount of traffic. And the length of the machine they actually had to bring it on, the trailer, had to be specially made for weight and for length. So we had to have police escort to actually do this. Those of you, when you do get into the Buddhist temple, these are actually what these views of the Buddha actually look like. The lace that goes around here, this all being metal, and it's all hand carved. It is spectacular to see. There are 9 chandeliers hanging above all of this, and each chandelier weighs 250,000 pounds, so you wouldn't want one to fall on your head. This picture was done the day of the opening ceremony, and this fellow happens to be the mayor of Monaghan Cavan. The temple sits in Cavan Monaghan Township, and the rest of the project is actually in the city of Quartha Lakes. So that's why the mayor is actually at that. Bill? This is a happy fellow that you meet as you go into the temple. There are 50, this is no picture of it, but there are 50 stupas, 25 on each side of the driveway, with sayings from the philosopher Buddha. This boy, his head alone weighs 10 tons. His body is 100 tons. And underneath him is a complete room that would be almost the size of this building. When they put this guy together, as most of the gargoyles and the statues, they come in crates, in pieces, and have to be put together with dugong construction. And my community said to me, oh, well, they've got his body in place, but that's all. Does he get a head? Yes, but we have to have a special frame to do it. Well, then eventually he got his feet, his hands. Then one day he got an ear, and nobody could find the other one. He finally found it. And if you ever go to the site, you're going to see it looks pretty messy because there are pieces everywhere. But that's because all of those pieces in this point go for this statute, and all the ones for the other ones go in that statute. If they ever mixed them up, they would never be able to get them back. So that's why all of these little piles of cement are all over. That's what this one is. There are steps up, and you can actually go up, and you can. There's a platform all the way around there that will take about 1,000 people. Justin Trudeau was actually here and unveiled this boy. If you can get up close to him, because you can walk around on the inside, you get a chance to run this guy's tummy, and it brings you good luck. This is the trail that they is down by Wisdom Pond, and as I tell you, there's 13 kilometers of road. It's not something you want to walk. And I think one gentleman told me how dusty it was, and he had problems on one of the tours. And eventually, they will eventually pave it. But this is one of the tours, and these are all statues and stupas with the Canadian Maple Leaf background. It's a spectacular scene in fall. This is the main one statue, and this is a statue of a woman Buddha. And this is down at Wisdom Pond. These babies, and there are five of them. There's one there, one there. There are five of them, and the four directions, and the other one is built almost in front of the new small temples. These guys come together in pieces as well. The foundation for that one is 100 feet in the ground, and the temple alone, or the statue, sorry, is 100 feet in the air. They're magnificent pieces to see, and you will see three of those if you drive past. Here's the ceremony of them unveiling one of these statues. And this is the roadway coming into the temple site with the Happy Buddha. Yep. This is the sad legacy of the raising, and they claim that they're trying to make light of this, one down and one to go for the new temple. And they're saying that fire purifies the spirit, raising from the ashes, is reborn with greater strength. Well, if you want to put your philosophy to it, that's fine. Here's the one that remains. Here's the one that, and this is taken prior to them taking everything down. This is them actually looking at the roof. They tried to save all of that bronze shingling, and they could not. There's too much damage. Bill? I talked to you about postulations. All of these roofs, there's the temple where they're heading, and they actually walk along. Here they are walking along through the woods over there by the Wisdom Pond. These are the monks because of the coloring of their uniforms. They are either gold or red, red for very special occasions. And the rest of the time, they wear the yellow or the gold. Here's a gentleman actually postulating, and that's when he's down on the ground. He gets up, does three steps, puts his hands together, says a small prayer, gets down on his knees again. Does that for 50 miles. The reality is it's hard on the knees. So in China, of course, that's why it takes so long, because your knees can't handle all that. And so we have been getting the knee pads, but even at that, for one week, they have pretty sore knees. Bill? The community integration, the current projects, and the future activities. They're trying to build a good network with local business committees, one being Members Historic Society, one being my own business. But a lot of the actual work is done by local contractors, except for the building, which we have to bring in specialized people for. Of course, there again, priority to employ local tradesmen wherever possible. Partnership with local universities for student placements. And we tried one of them with Susanna Fleming, and it didn't plan out. But part of it is we've now learned that it's a whole learning experience for youth. They had not had the exposure to different nationalities unless they're international students, and also to work with community people. So we're going to try that process again next spring, and we're going to start with the Trent University. We're going to provide alternate healthy lifestyles and activities with meditation classes, vegetarian cookery classes, an introduction to tea ceremony, and basic Buddhism courses. And in this area, it is totally amazing how many people come to me and say, is there anyone that I can learn how to meditate and how to do some of the ways of the Buddhist organization? There are people in this community that are not Buddhists who are following it right now, so we're going to be using them as part of the teaching process. I think we talked about what the vestments in the interior are. I should mention to you that the vestments for the interior for all of these buildings are on site. Some of them come from Laos, some of them from Indonesia, and eventually they will be put in site when more security can be put on them. I had the unique opportunity to actually receive a vestment that was from a temple in China, and it was from the 12th century. And I received it on behalf of the Buddhist organization, and it sits at the Bayview Village site, if you ever do get a chance. It's well worth a tour on Bayview Avenue. You can go and visit the Jewish people, which I've also been involved with, and also two buildings down is the Buddhist temple, and that's going to stay there until we have proper facilities to handle that kind of silk investment. The interest in this unique site draws people from all walks of life. But the most promising interest comes from individuals seeking to either reconnect with nature and to find a small peace and place to de-stress. Society has become too fast, complicated, and corrupt. People are seeking a way to escape, even for a little while. This, in my view, will be the largest interest on this site. Already I have people who want to do meditation sites, yoga, etc., anything to unwind from the day-to-day rat race. It is believed that once this site is completed, which they're hoping by 2024, that the weekly visits to this site will be 5,000 to 7,000 people. I can tell you that I could do right now, I could do 1,000 people a week on a bus tour. Are there any comments or questions?